You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com.
Welcome to the July 10th episode of KoopaCast. Can't believe it's July already. Did you guys have a good 4th of July?
It was rainy.
Yes, very rainy, but it was good.
All the rain, I sent all the rain to you guys. It was raining 5 days up to about July 4th. It moved up that way. I have a question. Eli, did you get on Animal Crossing on July 4th?
Yes, no fireworks.
Was there fireworks?
Nope. Hmm?
No fireworks. I didn't get on the 4th.
Maybe it was raining there,
yeah,
too.
I heard they're not doing that as much this time, like with like actual real holidays.
Well, who's to say Animal Crossing is in America?
I guess that's true.
Well, the older versions, they would have fireworks.
They at least celebrated Christmas.
Well, that's just wrong.
How dare they?
I did go to a birthday party of one of my neighbors the other day, though.
Oh, but they at least have birthday parties.
They did have my birthday party. They had a cake.
And she wanted a gift, but the only thing I had was, like, what was it? The thing you shoot stuff with?
Turnips?
No, the slingshot.
Oh.
Slingshot, yeah.
That's what they're
so
called.
So I gave it, and now I can't find another one.
So they have birthdays, but not the birthday for America.
Hmm.
Quite an unpatriotic game, if you ask me.
Those Japanese don't care about. I know I say this pretty much every KoopaCast, but I have no clue what we're going to talk about.
Hey, we'll make it up as we go.
I've got a few things. I don't know how they're going to go. But we're just going to go with it.
Yeah. So,
first thing, which is a sad note, so we'll start on a sad note. Ubisoft is scrapping any plans for Zombie U 2 because basically they said the Wii U sucks. Sales wise.
It's not
sucks who have it, but it sucks sales wise. It's not worth their time. They don't have any plans for it at all. Like, they're not even thinking about it anymore. It's kind of like, well, it's done.
Wow, that's sad.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I hate to say it, because it's only at, like, what, 400,000 sales so far, which isn't that good. But I can see that being a franchise that's revived, you know, in 3 or 5 years or something. But
I can still see that selling, too, 2 or 3 or 4 still. When the Wii finally picks up, like, people would start picking that game up again.
Well, it's like Red Steel. That continued to sell for the next 2 years because they dropped, like, $30. And it slowly, for surely, just kept selling where it got over to 1 million, and then we got a sequel.
It's sad that we're comparing that to Red Steel.
Yeah.
I like the idea of Zombie U. Of course, I mean, I feel like there was definitely a lot of things that could have been different with it, but I absolutely love the survival aspect of you get bit once, game over, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, it adds to the challenge. I'm like, there's that separate mode where if you can try to beat the game with just one person. To me, that adds a lot more to the whole survival horror aspect to it.
Yeah, and I thought it was awesome. It's a launch game of a new franchise. Well, I know it's inspired by that really old one, but basically a new franchise.
Right.
But I thought it was pretty cool, and I thought they did a really good job with it, but it is a shame. I'm hoping this Christmas season turns everything around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or maybe some other studio tries to pick up the same idea.
Who would you want? What studio would you want? You think good. Besides Capcom.
I actually was almost going to say Retro. I'd like to see what they might try to do with it.
I would love to see Retro do a mature title, like just a really gritty, realistic.
Right.
Good with that.
Well, I know one thing is that there are even some points where I was like, you know, this is way back in the GameCube day when playing Metroid Prime, there are some parts where you're going down these dark corridors or something, and, you know, because I think it was after finding about the Chozo ghosts, I was thinking, oh God, something's going to jump out of me. Like, I'm just waiting for that. Just that narrow vision. I think it's something that I think they could definitely do a horror based game around that. I guess that, man, what's the, someone help me out here. I'm trying to find the right word for this. Just that atmosphere, maybe. Yeah. I think they could do something.
And that's, I guess, jumping over to my fourth point, because we don't have a plan, is that fifth point, actually, that third parties are not supporting. So it comes down to Nintendo to support the third party. Right. It's, I guess going back to that Nintendo dilemma is, like, it's, these third parties don't want to support the Wii U, but yeah, they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot with no games coming to Wii. People saying there's no games coming to Wii U, well, it's because there's not enough units sold.
Right. Well,
there's not enough units sold because there's no games coming to the Wii U. So, like, someone's going to have to take, because honestly, if you, was it 4 million Wii U sold? And how many Zombie U titles did you say, Kevin? Two?
I think around 400,000.
That's not really that bad of a tie-in rate between how many Wii U's are actually sold and the game. So the game, if you look at it that way, the game sold pretty well. It's just not a heck of a lot of Wii U's out there.
How many Wii U's did you say there was?
It's probably like 4 million, 4.5 million, somewhere in there. I don't have no clue.
I can tell you in 1 second.
It's 3.5 a couple months ago. So I don't know. It was 3 in January, so.
Yeah.
What about you guys? Is there a studio that you would like to see maybe try to whack at the zombies? I guess it doesn't even have to be zombie survival, but just the survival horror. And also, what do you look for in that kind of title? I guess while we're on that, do you look for, oh, I'm scared something's going to jump out at me, or do you kind of dwell within the human psyche of what could they do? Because I'm sure Kevin feels that when you think about that. Let's say, I know this isn't a Nintendo game, but The Last of Us, you begin to fear the living more than you do the infected. It's something like that along those lines.
Yeah. I agree with that. And one thing I miss from zombie games, like in Resident Evil 4, I liked it because those slow walkers at the beginning, they slowly just swarm you until you're overwhelmed. And like some of the runners, it's like you don't have time to be scared. It's just like a quick rush, and then you just start firing. We're slow. You got to be methodical, and you got to like pick what you're doing. Like sometimes in The Last of Us, you mentioned those clickers. You have to really figure out what you're going to do. They will eventually run at you, but you have to take that time and precision. I really like that.
I don't know about you guys. My first play of Resident Evil 4, and you know, because when you aim at the I guess the slow walkers or whatever, that they'll sometimes like step to the side out of your crosshair. When I was first playing that Crystal Village, I'm freaking out. When they moved, I'm thinking, oh God, I wasn't even expecting that. Like, freaking out even more, aiming around like a moron, just because I wasn't even expecting a quick sidestep. I don't know why that blew me away. I guess it was because, you know, like you said, you start getting swarmed around. You're getting all these guys in the front. You turn around. Oh, by the way, there's 10 of them slowly coming at you.
Yeah.
One of my favorite survival horrors of recent years is Alan Wake.
Oh, probably. That was really good, actually.
Because, like, it played with your mind as well as your nerves. Because it played with darkness and light very, very interesting way. And you kind of like, oh, crap, what's out there type of – like, you feel in Resident Evil 4 when you hear something.
Mm.
In the distance, you're like, what the heck is that? The same thing with Alan Wake, but it had a lot of mental mind games into it too, where you have like these weird flashes or part of a story, you're like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense, and then it makes sense later on. That's what I really loved about that game.
Same here. And also, like, you see, like, you're at under like one light post or something, and you look off in the distance, you're like, okay, you know, there's the other light post, because you have to stay in the light. You kind of look around, like, all right, one, two, crack, 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 and you're running to like just gunning it.
At the end of the game, that's pretty much what I did. Was just run from light to light.
To me, that made me feel like being a kid or something. You had to like go out and take the trash or something. And it's like, from where I live out in the forest, so it's kind of, you know, when you're a kid, you're looking around like, oh God, I don't know what's out here. If I just run out there, run back, I'll be all right. So you almost get that like that mentality a bit.
The next thing I found interesting was that Wind Waker and Skyward Sword were tested for the Wii U. And that fact that I find interesting, what I found interesting was the actual comments from Anuma actually said. He said they tested them, but because it's kind of somewhat realistic.
What was that?
Is there Kevin, a storm that here?
Oh, wait, is that the storm? You guys got a storm down there?
Yeah, I think my power just flashed.
Okay, so if we lose Eli, we know what happened.
Anyways, he said they tested them, and they weren't that surprised by them for the fact that they're already somewhat realistic. And he said the reason they went with Wind Waker is because they realized that they may have released Wind Waker too early, that it just looks so good and so much better than the original that they just blew them away. And it's kind of what – and then with Skyward Sword – and Twilight Princess, it looked what they expected. They weren't blown away. Like, hey, this looks nice. It's HD and everything, but it doesn't blow us away like Wind Waker did.
Yeah. I could see that. That makes a lot of good sense. Now, Twilight Princess, I would love to see even more polish, I guess, like that Wii U tech demo way back. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm overall just pleased with Wind Waker. Seeing that getting a little boost.
And another interesting thing, he said that when he came up with the idea, he pitched it to the Japanese developer, and they're like, no one likes that Link.
Oh.
He's a loser. And then they pitched it to Nintendo of America, and Nintendo of America's like, yeah, that's awesome. That would be really cool. So it was Nintendo of America that kind of convinced them, like, it was a good idea to run with Wind Waker.
God bless you, America.
So I think it was like maybe the Japanese market wasn't as big of a fan of Wind Waker as the American market was. I know, I just found that interesting.
Now, oh, Lord. Now, when I hear that, when they say they're not as a fan of, what are they not a fan of? Are they not a fan of his art style or his character?
It didn't explain. All it said was people are like, oh, that Link? Yeah, no one likes that Link.
I feel as though that Link, the art style, at first, I wasn't too sold on the cell shade, but it grows on you the more you play. Mm-hmm. And then you have to understand, when you understand Link's character, the fact that he's just a kid that got thrown into this mess, and then later on finds out he's the chosen hero. I mean, I think that's why I definitely throw him in one of the top Links out there. It's just because he really, there's a lot of character growth of him.
He's a lot maturing through that Zelda game than there is other ones.
Yeah. I mean, he's been on his island since he was been born, never knowing what's out there. And then he goes off on a grand adventure. First, he's just going to go save his sister, head back to the island. Mm-hmm. Went from that to, oh, BT Dubs. We need to get something. Oh, we need to get something else. Oh, we need to get something else too. Oh, guess what? Turns out you're the chosen hero. Now we got to go do one last thing.
And save your sister.
Oh, yeah. And even after he saves his sister, he still sticks with it. I mean, he could have been like, oh, that's all I needed to do.
Whoa, spoiler, guys. I don't know if you're
the sister. That's right. It's not live. We can edit it, right?
No, it is.
Crap.
That is wrong. There is probably a whole generation that's going to play Wind Waker that hasn't yet.
Mm-hmm. Game is what? Almost 11 years old?
Yeah.
Crap. I've got one of the boxes in my drawer over there, so. But I recently picked that up to play on the GameCube, and it's funny, I've yet to keep playing it again because I'm at the most tedious, most. I guess if I could find a word to define it, it'd be this part of the game.
Triforce Quest. Yeah, so.
Like, that game would be probably my favorite game of all time.
If it wasn't
for the Triforce Quest. It would have been almost a perfect game except for that.
Yeah, it's funny. I at the beginning of the game, I knew that quest was coming. So what I did is the second I could get all the upgrades, all the best wallets, I just started accumulating money because I never go into shops to get stuff. It's just so when I get all the maps, I'm just going to cash them all in.
Yeah, well, when we did our 48-hour marathon, we did it wrong. We didn't upgrade anything, and we didn't collect any money.
So oh, no.
200 rupees.
Oh, no. So you're just like, afterwards you got upgrade, walking around, like the majority of the game is spent grinding for rupees.
I don't think we made it that year.
Oh, no.
No, we didn't.
Do you guys want to do it this year?
Well, we did it the year after and did it
pretty quick. Yeah, we beat it just because we played smartly.
I'd say the next marathon, I'd definitely say some old school NES needs to be played, like the hard, like, you know, the games that would, for better or worse, Nintendo'd you.
that or Cloudberry Kingdom the whole time.
Oh, oh yeah. Cloudberry Kingdom. But can you believe?
We will beat it.
Eli, I don't think you can beat the game. I think it's never ending.
But we'll beat it, all right.
All right, do you hear that? Do you hear
it
that, people?
It has to eventually end because...
Where's the death screen?
Well, it won't end, but it'll get, well, we could at least make it to as hard as possible because you saw him put the bars up and everything all the way.
Yeah,
that's got to be the top.
But yeah. But see, here's the question. What happens when you beat that level?
It probably just goes to exactly the same difficulty.
Yeah.
So it's just plateaus. So it's like you're beating it.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Was that Queenie?
Except I think it's impossible for a human to beat it.
Oh, is it now? Wait, what's the studio called again? Is it Queenie? How do you pronounce it?
I'm not sure.
All right. Well, do you hear? If you're watching this studio that made Cloudberry Kingdom, it's Queenie Studios. We can beat it. We just issued a challenge. And guys, I am setting us up for a challenge, so I hope you're ready. There are four of us, and we can throw in someone that's not with us right now. We can throw a fifth one in there. We're ready for it. We're going to die.
But going back to Wind Waker, I got to admit, I cheated my first way through.
How? Jeez. How do you cheat?
Because Kevin knows this. Because Kevin got the game and beat the game before I did, and he got the player's guide.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And so I just took that and found all the Triforces.
Seriously?
That's yeah, I was like, screw this. I'm not going to look for these.
Wait, did you
and so it tells you exactly where everything's at.
Oh, so you just skipped getting the charts?
No, I think I still had to, but like it told you where, because you know you just have to find the charts, where they're at, and then like, it told you.
I do that all the time.
You would, but James, I expected better.
Well, I got to that point. I'm like, you know what? This sucks.
It's part of the adventure, though. What would be great is if Link's expression during that whole quest is just this very agitated look. Like, he feels your pain. Even when he gets the Triforce piece, he's still like,
Yeah. So, for the next Zelda, what do you guys want it to be, style-wise?
Honestly, I want to see an HD one. I want like the E3 tech demo, or because you saw like the art style they used for like Super Smash Brothers insert whatever it's going to be on the Wii U here. The attention, the detail they do on them is fantastic. But I think they could even go a little bit further if it was just focusing on Link.
I liked Twilight Princess style. I would just love to see that in HD. That was one of my favorite styles.
I like that one. That
was James? That one too.
I didn't like Skyward Sword that much.
James wants Zelda CDI. He wants that to make a comeback.
I can go for another Wind Waker style.
Oh!
And do you think they'll go Wind Waker style? Because going back to them being so blown away by how Wind Waker looks HD.
I think it's a possibility. I think it's a big possibility. Considering...
I think it will be an evolution, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it'll be something new, but in that style. Like, sorry, that's thunder.
Yes, because you can obviously help thunder. You can help.
But I hope it's nothing like Skyward Sword, because I felt like Skyward Sword is amazing, but it helped because it was on a limited system graphically. So it was a cool idea for this next one, whether it's Wind Waker or the Twilight Princess or Tech Demo, they just need to blow our socks off as best they can. No more tricks, no more anything like that, just as awesome as they can.
Well, Kevin, I'm not wearing socks. but no, I definitely agree with you. I'd like to see an older Link, though. Like, if it was done in the Wind Waker, cel-shaded cartoon, whatever you want to call it, I think a little bit older Link would be cool.
Yeah. Have you heard the idea of an old man Link?
Oh, that's kind of cool. No.
It's actually cool. I think it's from a DeviantArt or whatever those artists are called from that website, DeviantArt.
Yeah, DeviantArt.
It's a guard for the Hyrule Castle, and he's lived his life as a loyal guard, and one day he's discovered he is, you know, the hero. And so he kind of has a scruffy beard. You know, he's still agile, but he basically becomes the hero, and it's a really cool concept.
They did with Snake.
Yeah, like Solid Snake.
Yeah. Well, he's really old. Gray in his beard.
Old and Nevi. Navi, I know how to go into a cave. I need to get the Triforce.
Would you guys like a totally different style? Like, I'm trying to think how to play. Kind of a more modern style, maybe? Like a different look? Maybe he's more urban clothing instead of...
I've seen that idea tossed around. A modern one, that would be... I don't know how I'd feel about that one. I think it's still...
Movie City, but just kind of modern up a little bit. Get it out of, like...
The medieval.
Robin Hood. Medieval.
So wait, are you saying, like, past, like, Spirit Tracks or something with trains, like, bringing that type of technology?
Yeah, like, maybe, like, the 1800s where, he dresses different. Maybe not the normal tunic, but maybe something...
Steampunk, Link.
Steampunk? I don't know that far.
All you gotta do is give him a green vest and a top hat that's green as well.
Exactly.
And has goggles.
And, like, brown pants. And
yeah. He's got, the goggles. You have to have the goggles and some dirt on his face. And you're good. Steampunk. Then, yeah. Bam.
I don't know. It would be interesting.
I think they could definitely play around with that.
I don't know. I feel like Nintendo, they're making the timeline so convoluted. I feel like sometimes I wish they would just make like a completely separate Zelda somehow. I don't know how they do. Almost like a Majora's Mask. Just like, so you don't have to worry about anything. Just
go with it.
Speaking of, I guess, Zelda and Miyamoto, did you hear that he might be possibly hinting at something completely new?
I saw that.
Yeah.
Well, we know he's been working on a brand new game, and he's been saying it's a new IP for like 2 years. So, and it's about time they do that.
I'm interested to see what it's going to be, though, because thinking about it, I know you had the dead silence, sorry about that. Because again, it's like you're thinking about, would it be more modern looking, or would it be more fantasy, futuristic-y, or could he just troll us and go all the way back to like 8-bit?
Nah, it'll be something cool like Pikmin, like something out of the ordinary.
Right, original. Well,
say what?
Original.
Yeah, so I think we'll get away from the whole hero complex thing, and we'll do some sort of... I don't know what it could be.
I didn't go as far as Wii Music, though.
That would have been a bad idea.
I'd like to see a heroine.
Yeah. I always liked the idea people came up with of a Zelda game dealing with Princess Zelda.
Oh, didn't they do that with the CDI? They did it with the CDI. Ah!
Jeez, you guys are getting blown away.
Yeah, I feel like we should keep talking about horror games or something, you know, with this atmosphere. Man, there's something about, like, Chattanooga, man, because when we went down there, it was constant downpour. I think, like, Chattanooga's just bad luck.
Yeah.
Like, going back to the idea of the heroine.
The drug or the woman?
The woman. I think that if anyone would do it, it would be Miyamoto. Like, he would, I don't say take the risk, but he's the type of developer who's like, yeah, it's a woman, so what? Type of,
yeah.
He's fine with running with it.
I think it'd be, actually, I know this is kind of random, but in terms of a female, I guess, like a protagonist, I notice in Hayao Miyazaki films, you see a lot of them, a lot of female, main characters, and it's fantastic. And I was just thinking, of course, this is my random brain going, what if Nintendo and like Hayao Miyazaki or Studio Ghibli collaborated on an idea together.
That would be cool. I know that the last game they collaborated didn't do extremely well, which was
What game was that?
It came out, there's a DS version and a PS3 version. It was...
Ni no Kuni?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, they came out, that's it, they did come out for the DS. But I'm talking about, like, exclusive Nintendo.
No, I was saying that was cool.
Oh.
I was wondering if that with a partnership they had there with, was it Level 5? I think it was Level 5.
Maybe. I'm not too, don't quote me on that, I'm not too sure. I wonder what Legend of Zelda would look like in Hayao Miyazaki art style.
Yeah.
Probably pretty cool looking. I can imagine.
Then next, moving on,
yeah,
to the next topic, a little bit off Nintendo, but I wanted to say something about this. There's been a lot of articles and some major websites have been pumping this up as a bigger deal than it really is. I won't mention any names, but they have three letters in the name.
One of?
Too soon, Kevin.
HSR?
HSR, yes.
Homestar Runner, guys. You guys remember Homestar Runner?
Anyways, that Xbox One and PS4 pre-sales have sold out at GameStop, at least.
All of them?
Yeah, like they're not taking any more pre-orders.
Kevin, how are we going to get Kingdom Hearts 3?
Yeah, well, what's amazing about that, which I actually was impressed with, that they had their initial order, and then they got like 2 to 3 times more, like after E3, after a few weeks. So, I don't know.
True. Also, I don't see Kingdom Hearts 3 being a release title.
Oh, heavens no.
Yeah, but it's going to be like a probably a whole year until we see that, or Final Fantasy 15. So
I think he said the earliest we'll have Kingdom Hearts 3 is in like 2 years.
Let's see, 2 years. As I check my calendar, that's
2015. The year Marty goes to the future.
So is Marty the one that brings us Kingdom Hearts? I knew it.
Well, anyways, back to that, James, you're talking about that. It's amazing because, to me, the launch titles, with the exception of, like, Battlefield, aren't that great. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, they do have a new Battlefield, new Call of Duty, you know, but those are standard. Like, there's nothing, I guess, if you're an Infamous fan.
Ooh, Infamous, so good.
But.
Also, but
go ahead.
I was going to say, the thing with that also, I mean, yeah, Battlefield, which is Battlefield 4, yeah. Yeah, Battlefield 4, is it going to be on that and all? But not everyone's going to have the money to shell out for so much $100 for a system. They're probably going to end up getting it on either the 360 or the PS3. So there's also that thing. Do you either shell out the extra money for a brand new system, or do you save a few $100 and just get the game for the system you have now?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's like, okay, PS4, why would you waste, I want to say wasting money on the Call of Duty version for the PS4 when you can get an exclusive and then buy a Call of Duty for the PS3.
Duty.
Duty.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, so what I said, the reason I brought that up is I meant to look up, try to find out how many numbers of how many pre-sale orders they got. But the Wii U sold out a lot of places, pre-orders. Yeah. And we don't know how much they got. They could all just got 20. Each store could have had 20 pre-orders. And then if they doubled it, 40 pre-orders. And companies do that. They don't give you much. Like, our Best Buy sold out. They had like 10 pre-orders for the Wii U, but ended up having 35 Wii U's at launch. Because they want to take the risk of having more than less.
Yeah.
It's not as big. It's impressive that it was selling out, but it's not as impressive as some sites with three letters are making it out to be. Because they have very low pre-orders in the first place. Like, some stores may even only have 4, depending where the store is at.
Oh, now I know where you're talking about three letters. EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency.
Exactly. Yeah,
those guys always just talking out, man.
Those guys are jerks.
Yeah, I know. Tell me how to protect the environment. Man, but I'm probably not gonna get a, like, I want, I'm gonna probably, if I get choosing between the two, I'm probably gonna end up getting a PS4. But I'm definitely not gonna get one at launch, just because, one, I don't have the cash to just to shell out that much money for it. But
all right, then, now here's my question: Why are you buying two systems?
What do you mean by two systems?
Why are you buying two systems?
I'm just buying one system, man.
Well, I mean, you have the Wii U. Why are you buying another system?
We're doing this now. Mm-hmm. That's not fair, man, because that just – all right. Well, Kingdom Hearts 3, because I've been waiting for that game ever since I picked up Kingdom Hearts 1. Infamous looks pretty cool. I'm going to go with also Final Fantasy 15. And, yes, I know Kingdom Hearts 3 and I believe Final Fantasy 15 are going to the Xbox One, but – I think really the biggest thing, I hate the whole camera thing that's mandatory and that it can do all the things that it can do. It kind of just, that just weirds me out, man. I feel more familiar with this. I mean, like, make it a little bit bigger, but I feel more familiar with a PlayStation controller than an Xbox One, so to speak.
But the question, like, why do you find the need to I'm just kind of wasting time now.
Oh, no, that's cool.
Why do you find the need to not just own a Wii U, but own a second system? I don't care if it's PS4 or Xbox One. Well, why do you feel the need that you need to go out and purchase another system?
I just want to expand my gaming horizons. I mean, that's like being an artist that says, I'm only going to paint with the color brown or something. You got to try everything else. You almost, in a way, have to, as much as Nintendo fanboys as we are, we also kind of have to dabble into the competition a bit, maybe see what all the fuss is about, but also just because out of sheer interest and a passion for gaming, to experience these brand new stories or the continuation of said story, hence Kingdom Hearts 3 and the new Infamous game.
Yeah. No, I actually agree with Tristan. I think the days of saying, I'm a Nintendo game only, that's fine, but it's not the same as it was during like GameCube or N64 era. Now, if you say that and you're solely doing that, that's great and that's good loyalty, but you're almost losing, you know, a whole bunch of games for the sake of just having a principle, which is great. But I feel like there's so many great games out there, there's so many cool opportunities that I think you're missing the big spectrum of what it is to be called a gamer. Now, there's nothing wrong to be a Nintendo gamer only. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But I just feel like you're missing out a lot of stuff. Just the same thing about if you're a PS, you know, PlayStation or Xbox owner, to say you're not going to own a Nintendo console is ridiculous, just because those are some of the best games out there.
Right. Same thing with Microsoft, like, you know, with Xbox or PlayStation. Like, I recently played the Sly Cooper games, the Ratchet and Clank games, the Jak and Daxter games, and I realized myself, crap, I missed out on some really good games here.
But how do you guys feel about it, Eli James?
Yeah.
Well, I've got a PS3. I probably won't get a PS4 right away, but maybe later on. But my reasoning is kind of, yeah, because some games that maybe I can't get on the Wii U, and also peer pressure from friends who play the PlayStation, and I want to play multiplayer games with them and stuff, so that's probably another reason. But
you have friends?
No, a few.
We just pretend.
I'm still waiting for my paycheck to be your friend.
It's easy to make friends online.
And enemies.
Oh, God, that's easier.
Well, James, what about you?
Well, not to plug, but I just posted an 800-word musing about this exact topic almost, pretty much. So my feelings are there, but I agree with you guys. I'm a gamer. I love video games. I don't care where they're at. I don't care if they're on the iPhone. I don't care if they're on Android tablet. I don't care if they're on the computer. If it's fun.
Even the N-Gage.
Yeah, it's fun. It doesn't make me sick playing it. I'm going to buy it if I...
Wait. What games have made you sick?
Virtual Boy.
Yes.
Okay.
Some of them were kind of fun. But it made me sick. So. Yeah. Oh, that's bad. And so, like, I'm fine with buying, and playing video games is a hobby. It's not a necessity. It's
a passion.
Yeah, it's an expensive hobby. All hobbies get expensive. Like, if you're into snowboarding, it gets expensive. You go snowboarding all the time and buying a board. You're into riding bikes. Bikes aren't cheap. A good bike is $1,000 or more. It's money, but you don't need to be riding bikes. You don't need to be snowboarding. We don't need to play video games, but it's a hobby. And as of right now, we got to buy multiple systems and multiple devices to enjoy all the games. And until the industry decides, hey, let's all make one system, we're stuck with this problem.
That'd be crazy. Going on top of that, James, I think it's interesting that, and I get this from other sites, that I feel like if you don't play different types of games, you can't cover different types of games. So, like, when I hear people dissing about certain Nintendo games, if they're justified, sure, but some of the reasons, like the G4, remember that Infamous where they're like, it's just a Nintendo Zelda game, it's not good, and that was their reasoning, because it's a Nintendo Zelda game. It's like, how is that a reason for not being a good game?
Yeah.
But they define it as it's on a Nintendo system, it needs to be on other systems. And so I just feel like, if anything, especially when you're in the industry, playing multiple systems gives you a broader perspective on everything. Gives, you know, sort of just makes it easier to talk about the pros and cons of other things, knowing a whole lot more.
Right. Like, I had a friend of mine, they asked me, what'd they say? They were trying to compare Kingdom Hearts with Legend of Zelda. And someone said, Legend of Zelda makes Kingdom Hearts look like child's play. And I kind of really questioned them. I was like, so wait a minute. What makes you think that? And they were like trying to compare it to. But the thing is, with me being able to play those different games, I'm able to say you really can't compare the two. They're two totally different games. The only similarities really are they have a sword that's legendary, and there's a hero, and he might have some commands on the way. That's literally it. You really can't compare the two. And
it's a Keyblade, by the way, but whatever.
Oh God, really? Well, it's a Master Sword, too. So, yeah, which can totally kick Keyblades, but I won't get into that. But it was pretty much being able to play all those different games, I feel like I had a justified reason to say that the two really can't be compared, because the one's an action RPG, while the other's an action adventure / sometimes puzzle game.
Hey, going back to what both of you guys just said, looking at, because I didn't own a PS2. I didn't know what Kingdom Hearts was, and Kevin talked about it all the time in high school, and I'm like, how can this be like, so, he's like, yeah, it's a great game, it's a deep lot too. I'm like, it's has Disney characters. It has
Disney like, characters, James?
How non-kiddish can this be? And then until I sat down and played a level and watched Kevin play, I'm like, wow, this game is very deep. It has a nice story to it. It's somewhat kind of could be dark. It's a lot. So if you don't, looking at a game like G4 did with Zelda, which is a Zelda game on Nintendo platform, you don't know it until you actually sit down and play it and immerse yourself into it to know exactly what you're supposed to be talking about.
Yeah, because it is so easy to do that. It's like, okay, I saw a good 30 minutes, even a 4 or 5 minute trailer or something. I get it. I understand it. But really, until you sit down and, you know, experience it, which is one of video games, you can't really talk about it in-depthly.
Right. I think it's easy. It's so easy to say something bad about a game, but it's a lot more difficult to say why something is bad about a game. Because I could easily, like Kevin, you lent me Red Dead Redemption. While I'm loving it, I could have been that guy that said, no, it's just a stupid game. Why? Well, it's just a stupid game. He's on a horse. That's stupid. But if you actually sit down and play it and play from beginning to end, and what's difficult is actually trying to say something bad about a really decently good game. That takes a lot more effort and a lot more thinking if you have something to justify it. Like when I did my Link to the Past review for the magazine, which everyone should go pick up, wink. I actually said in the end that no matter if a game is great, I always try to find a flaw in it. Of course, with Link to the Past, though, I really couldn't find one. It was too difficult. But that's the thing. I guess the point I'm trying to get at is it's so easy to say a game is bad, but it's more challenging to back yourself up on that. Mm-hmm. To the point where even the most diehard fanboy could be like, okay, I respect your opinion on that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know, makes sense. He's not listening.
Yo. He's looking up cat videos.
but for you guys, what is the one aspect that could ruin a great game? Like to the point, like if you're playing this game, like, oh, I love this game's awesome, and then something happens, or you're just kind of like, well, now this game just kind of took a turn.
Like no matter how great a series is, it could just like, let's say the next Legend of Zelda game, it could be like,
well, it doesn't have to be a game, or it could be like the aspect of Wind Waker of searching for, like that was a great game up to that point, then you're like, oh, wow, this is kind of.
Oh,
it's kind of ruined the game for me.
Tedious mini games that have nothing to do with the story yet are required for you to complete them to advance said story that just kill the flow.
Do you have any examples
before? Someone else say something while I try to think of an example. Because again, it's back to that thing. It's easy to say something bad, but I want to have something to back myself up. Like, all right, let me think. Guys, keep going. Make a conversation.
Start doing the Jeopardy music.
Kevin, hurry up, man. I'm thinking.
Well, for me, I can give an.
Yes, I got one. Yeah. Sorry. I'm sorry. I guess example. Speaking of Kingdom Hearts and Kingdom Hearts 2, it was great to go to each world. You know, fighting the Heartless and everything like that. Fighting nobodies. And I don't know why. Whenever I play Kingdom Hearts 2, I have to complete it. You know, get everything, synthesize everything. Yet there is one dreaded world that I must visit in order to do so. That world is called Atlantis, which is the Little Mermaid world. There is nothing to fight, no enemies, but instead some crappy DDR game that has nothing to do with sword fight, yet crappy songs and poor timing. All it is 5 mini games of these most poorly written songs that were just shoved into the game at the last second.
But did you not feel awesome doing it?
No, I didn't, Kevin. I felt like a moron. That was the one time when I'm playing the game. Like, I'm in my friend's dorm room playing the game, and I just went, yeah, I'm just going to mute the TV here. Okay, now we're going to get through this. I can just do it by eye. God. That right there, that just broke the flow of the game. And ugh.
What were you going to say, James?
Well, my example is L.A. Noire. I don't know if you guys played that game.
Yeah, I played that.
Yeah, I loved it. I've actually never finished it for this reason. It is near the end. A fetch quest comes out of nowhere.
Oh, God.
And I'm just like, this is the most random and dumbest fetch quest I've ever played. It kind of just turned me off in the game. Up to the point, it's all, you know, you're solving a crime. It's the same, kind of some of the same thing, same flow throughout the whole game.
Right.
And all of a sudden at the end, they're like, oh, no, you got to collect all these items all across the city. And
right.
You haven't been, I guess, taking pictures, if I remember correctly. Sometimes you have no clue exactly what they're talking about, where you need to go. So the son driving around is like, you know what, this kind of just, this isn't this game. I'm not driving around trying to find these items. Right. I'm supposed to be yelling at witnesses and
trying to find out if they're lying or not.
Yeah. And it just kind of just turned the game totally off for me. And it kind of just ruined it.
That makes sense. And I'm pretty sure if the game was practically nothing but fetch quests, that wouldn't be a problem. No. But it's not like we're playing Skyrim here.
And this wasn't like 20% into the game. This was near the end. Like, that's probably 80% into the game. And it's kind of like, well,
yeah, I know.
Done this so far.
Yeah, I know. I think I know what part you're talking about. Yeah, you're like trying to find, like, yeah, I can't remember what exactly you're trying to find, but I do remember that part was just, you're like, wait, what are we doing now? I want to go chase someone down and either shoot them in the back or shoot a gun in the air and make them stop. Instead, yeah, you're on a fetch quest.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, it's when I'm playing Mario Kart and then first place,
no.
And then Tristan's in last, and all of a sudden gets a blue shell and a bullet.
Oh, and I hope that blue shell.
That's when I just sort of throw the controller down and turn the game off.
Oh, of course, when Tristan wins at Mario.
Okay, I wasn't in first place, maybe fifth.
Maybe fifth. Of course, when Tristan actually wins at Mario Kart, that's when the game is no longer fun, right?
No, I enjoy the challenge. So far, it's only been challenging.
Yeah, but I mean, like, let's face it. When you're playing against Kevin, is there really a challenge? I don't think so.
Really, Tristan?
Shut up. Just, all right, that bullet bill screwed me over twice. I was in fourth place coming into third. Bullet bill hits me, I'm in last. Lose the race.
On a totally different topic, what item, if you could remove one item from Mario Kart, Mario Kart 8, what would it be?
Blooper. I feel like the blooper is pointless. There's so many times when it's about as to me. Well, I found the banana peel a lot more useful.
Mm. I hate bananas, but I like the banana.
And is this getting rid of it or changing? Because if I could change anything, it would change the blue shell to flying. Because I can't stand that it's on the ground in Mario Kart 7.
Oh, you're talking about that? Like, even if you're not in first place, I still get hit by it?
Yeah, because if you're in the trail, if you're in the path of it.
Oh, yeah. Is it because of that one time it hit you?
Yeah, honestly, right? I would have to go with Bullet Bill, because I think that's a pretty cheap power-up.
I think it's kind of insulting when you get that ability, because it's, you know, it's like, oh, man, you suck so much at driving.
Well, it's really sad
for you.
It's really sad when you get it two times in a row and you're still in eighth place.
Oh, God.
Which happened last weekend to me.
And it's supposed to help you, but nope.
Yeah, what makes it sad is that it takes the player out of it. It's like, yeah, you suck so much. Oh. Let us
take drive for you.
Is that anything else?
I want them to bring back the fake boxes. I missed those.
Oh, those were good.
Yeah.
I think what would be cool is if they had a new item to where if you would throw it on the ground, like you know how you throw a banana peel on the ground, but it's invisible and it melts with the track. But let's say if you touch it, you're going to randomly switch positions with another racer.
No, that's a terrible idea. Cause that
yeah, no, that's a great idea.
That's so much to chance and randomness.
Exactly.
What about proximity
I love it.
Mines? Because – they have the bomb right now, but that's too hard. I want a proximity mine to place somewhere in there.
Yeah, but
how about just normal mine? Yeah,
Kevin, could you imagine though? You're almost
normal
at
mine would be fine too.
Hit it.
Now, is it
proximity
in 7?
Would make it easier for me.
Is it in 7 when you get the cloud and it boosts you and you have to hit someone else?
There's a cloud.
No, that's
Mario Kart Wii.
Yeah, the Wii.
That's right. I can remember.
Yeah, You can, now that one I like because it was kind of especially playing with friends, you kept on bouncing it off to each other.
Yeah. I don't know. Also the Lucky Seven, I'm not a big fan of all the items.
I'm a fan of it whenever like a computer or someone else gets it and I sneak up right behind them and nab their star.
I don't know.
You can do that?
Like I said, yeah. You can do that, but that's cool.
Yeah, you can do that because the items are out there. I've actually, ran into someone's bomb or something, but
Eli, we're usually too far ahead to have
Never actually seen one of those before.
Oh, really?
Have you really not? I got him a bunch of
times. I've gotten it a few times.
God, you guys make it sound like the second place is something so unknown to you guys. What? There's a second? Boulder Dash, a third?
Although Eli, what team won last weekend?
Oh, I think it was me.
Wait, I think I lost.
I think me and Kevin won, even though I was kind of screwing up at one point.
Nah.
I'm pretty sure 70 is such a bigger number than 30.
Yeah, that stupid tiebreaker.
Wait a minute, you lost that bad of Justin on your side?
Yeah.
Oh, man, it was
close. Like, this is my score. Bitch, because they had
closer than 70 and 30.
It's because they had
Peach the first time. Finally, I was like, I'm going to be Peach, so Peach can't do it.
Well, how'd that logic work out?
Well, I didn't do as good as Peach was doing on your team.
Oh. So loser. Oh man, we need a game capture card, that stuff, and just like live stream it.
Yes.
Definitely when Mario Kart 8 comes out, we gotta definitely do some live stream.
Yeah. Well, James, what else is on the agenda?
Well, the last thing is I don't know if you guys saw the video of a Reggie interview. It was actually a horribly done interview.
By who?
I don't remember anymore.
I was gonna say a three-letter site.
No, it wasn't Noel. It wasn't. Anyways, I feel bad for the guy because he was super nervous, and then you can tell very clearly. Like, I would be super nervous too, but you can tell very clearly in the video, super nervous. But anyways, he's asking Reggie about the Wii U and their E3 experience, and Reggie comes out and tells him that processing power doesn't matter. And that's the first, I don't want to say it's the first time, but I like that Nintendo's actually running with that idea of like, hey, it's games that matter. And it's something that we've kind of been saying all night. It's like, it doesn't really care where the game comes from. Like Cloud Bear and Kingdom is a great example. It's a very simplistic game at its core. There's no amazing graphics, but it's hellishly fun.
Yeah.
And it's that idea. It's like, as long as the game's fun, people are going to buy. And that's kind of the point Reggie had. He's like, I don't care how many, he didn't say this, but he's basically like, I don't care how many cores they have. I don't have any RAMs they have. As long as you make good games, people are going to buy, and that's what Nintendo feels like. We have great games coming out. We got Pikmin 3, we got Mario Kart, we got Smash Brothers, we got Xenoblade. We got all these, not Xenoblade.
X. It's just called X by Monolith Soft.
Yeah, so they have all these great games coming out, and that's all they really care about. And Reggie even kind of said that to the media before the showcase. He's like, hey, talk about the games. It's what's important. Enjoy the games. Tell people how great they are. That's what you should focus on, and all the other stuff.
Well, that's what Reggie said. Remember at the beginning of his thing, he says, what matters is how you feel when you play the game. And I think we all agree that every game we played on Nintendo's floor, we were happy with. Even Just Dance 2014, I was happy. I had fun.
That's like you carried away, Tris.
Hey, if you're just jealous of my moves, you're just jealous of it, man. So what? You had to dance to earn some money. It's okay. It happens. That's how you pay for your college.
And many of the games look beautiful, too. I mean, not to bring up Mario Kart again, but...
No, it's true, man.
I mean, it looks so nice. I can't even imagine it looking better.
It's a crazy when the day, and this is going to sound weird, when Mario Kart looks better than a 3D Mario game.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting.
Yep.
Again, you're saying... go ahead, James.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay, I was going to say, I think in terms of like the visuals, I noticed one thing all of us seem to like... I don't know if you were when you played Donkey Kong, the first thing I commented on, it wasn't the scenery, it was the first thing was, holy crap, you can really see Donkey Kong's fur. Like, out of all the things, out of the gorgeous scenery, the first thing I went to was how the fur, you could see his fur in the wind. I don't know why that stuck out to me so much, but it was that awesome visuals, but still stay true to its art style, but still how fun it was to play that game.
and to peddle some more of my articles. And that's the reason that I think the Nintendo's going to be okay is that all these games are now in HD. Like, it's the first time we're seeing Donkey Kong in HD, first time we're seeing Mario Kart in HD, first time we're seeing Mario in HD, Zelda in HD, and it's just that aspect that's going to intrigue people. Like, holy crap, you can finally see Donkey Kong and see all of his fur, see him in HD. I wonder what it looks like. It looks good. I'm going to buy it. And it just, maybe Nintendo save themselves not being HD for the Wii. Who knows? But now we're like, it's just a pure aspect of seeing a Zelda in HD could sell systems, seeing a Mario in HD.
I'm just glad I got my Wii U system when it came out, so I'm not going to be the people. I'm not going to be amongst the crowd when these games come out and everyone's like going crazy trying to get a system because how great they are. That's called shameless advertising right there. But oh God, I cannot wait for this lineup. And there's other things like from Sony that I'm excited for too, but Nintendo is just trumping them all. Well, we got Pikmin coming out on the 4th, and then shortly after we have Mario and Luigi Dream Team, which I don't know if you guys, I absolutely love the Mario and Luigi games, so I am really psyched to play them.
Yeah, me too. Now, seeing this Christmas, I do think the Wii will sell well. I don't think it'll go absolutely crazy. I think this will be the beginning, and it'll just ramp up the next year when Mario Kart
and Smash Bros.
Smash Brothers, that will be the seal of the deal where it really starts taking off like a 3DS. I think we'll see a huge upswing this Christmas, but I still don't think these titles are going to make it become a bestseller. You know, we're not going to see a 10 million holiday season yet.
You know? Not with that attitude.
Well, no, seriously.
No, I'm just
because, you know, it'll take a while to get the word out, but I think it'll sell extremely well. Man, this time next year, I think it'll be really, really well.
It's going to be a good day to be a Nintendo fan.
And I think Nintendo still needs to find, I think, that Wii Sports title that brings in our parents or our grandparents or our significant others or whatever into gaming that the Wii did. Like, yeah, like Mario Kart's bringing a lot of players. Smash Bros. Is going to bring in a ton of players. But to really get that success, that 100 million units, they need that, that
now,
Wii Sports title.
The question that's going to change everything and throw all these sales figures to commute is China is ending the ban on consoles. And so that's an untapped market of like, what, 1.5 billion people or something?
Most of the world, well, no, in India is most of the world's population.
So I'm just saying,
still,
if Nintendo or Microsoft, Sony got in there, whenever that ban's officially going to end, I mean, that could be 100 million units right there.
Yeah.
Which that could honestly drastically change the whole industry if that becomes a big thing. There's developers developing for that for us. If we get some crossover, you know, inspiration from different things, how's that going to affect?
Right.
When is this happening?
Well, I think they just announced that it's the ban is ending or it's about to end.
Well, either way, the great thing about that, if a lot of Nintendo consoles get sold, I got a lot of people are going to need the news on Nintendo. Can you guys translate into Chinese script? Throwing it out there.
Yeah, but just because they released the ban or getting rid of the ban doesn't mean like the consoles will be released there, obviously. But like,
I'm still going to watch Firefly to recap on my Chinese Mandarin. I'm sure that can help.
But like Microsoft, that won't be a big market for them, I couldn't imagine.
I don't see that either. I also see Nintendo being bigger.
Sony and Nintendo could be huge there. I got a soft topic, I'm sorry.
No, it's a good topic. I mean, I actually was not aware of this band, to be honest. That's good. That's good. That's good that they're lifting that. I guess if we're talking about international gaming in a way, I don't know if you guys read that article that was supposed to contribute to one about New Zealand gaming. The guy, I think his name is TJ from New Zealand. Did you guys read that? I highly recommend giving it a read sometime. It's just kind of talking about how I'll give a little teaser. I don't want to give the whole thing away, but like how scarce it is to get some of these games over there, and how hard it is to even pick them up just because of the. I'm not sure if it's the importing of it, but it's just it seeming to be in such small quantities.
Well, to go off of that, he actually contacted me. And once I found that he was in New Zealand, because when I was coming back from E3, I was sitting next to a guy from Australia. Really? And he realized, because I was wearing the Pure Nintendo shirt, he realized I came from E3 and we started talking about video games. And he said in Australia that they have high taxes, like super high taxes.
Yeah.
And that's why the video games are just like, let's say like $100 for a game.
Yeah.
And so they actually do a lot of their importing from the UK. So
yeah.
He says, and the Australian government actually wants to stop that because they're losing all this money because everyone's using Amazon UK and shipping it in because they can buy two games on Amazon UK the price of one game in Australia.
Right, and I think the only way they can get around that is by simply dropping the taxing, like lowering the taxing on that, because, I mean, that's just ridiculous. I mean, granted, if like a Zelda game for the Wii U came out, I'd probably still shell out the $100 for it, but only if it came with like a replica sword or something. Like if it came with something, but sadly, they're just getting the game. They're paying as much for what you get in a collector's edition.
And it's a game that could be out already 6 months in the States or...
But see, how do you change that? Because that is a specific video game tax, or is that just their tax?
That's the tax on a lot of things. He says a lot of things are expensive, but I think it's like electronics tax or entertainment tax.
Yeah, what sucks is that's not going to change if it's a specific video game tax that could change, but if it spans entertainment, movies, I don't see that changing. I mean, that's a pretty big move.
Right, and I believe they run by parliamentary procedure or by parliament. So I mean, like even going through the red tape of that to try to get something brought up to change that is going to be a long, long process.
His name is Thomas Jones.
I'm actually chatting with him on Twitter back and forth. Real cool guy.
Yeah. Like, I'm glad he agreed, because when I saw that he was living in New Zealand, talking to that guy in Australia, I realized that things are different in the other world. It sounds kind of conceited. But right. Here in America and we see, hey, Nintendo of America, and we complain about things, and we're not getting this and this. Well, look at Australia, look at New Zealand, look at other countries, even South America. That
right. In fact,
they look at things, see things differently than we do, because it is different out there.
But Australia did get Mario Strikers 2 months before we did, so they have that.
Yeah, but
America hates soccer.
Yeah, really, that's the thing, man, and like that's a big deal down there. Actually, I was going to say something. If we have any international watchers out there right now, if you have an interesting story about what gaming is like in your area, whether the lack thereof or how the market is run over there, or an interesting story, is please let us know. We'd love to hear about it. I for one would. Would you guys?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm kidding.
Oh God, Kevin!
Expand your outside of America.
Yeah, except Canada.
Canada.
Actually, Canada actually has a lot of game companies. So I mean, like that's
they do. Thing. No, they do.
Yeah, Canada is video games. No, but I think it'd be really cool, you know, to hear from around the world what gaming is like in their area, mm-hmm. and how it differs from ours, kind of. And maybe even in the future, I'm not trying to start a rally or anything, but what would be the process to change that? I mean, if anything, I remember way back when I was had this big idea of like moving to New Zealand, you know, for what reason. I just want to try something new. I registered with New Zealand's government trying to learn more about it. If anything, I could send an email to them and just simply ask that question saying, you know, hey, recently we found this story and I was curious, why is it that way? You know, why are there just such higher taxes? That's called fact checking.
New Zealand has higher taxes, but Australia does.
But New Zealand is kind of pricey, but to me it's like Vancouver, like British Columbia pricey, it seems like.
Well, the reason New Zealand does, in all seriousness, they have a serious orc problem.
Really? All right, boys, get your broadswords. Kevin, you look like Samwise.
Lord of the Rings is filmed there, guys. They have all the orcs there that they need to raise the taxes. Come on, guys.
All right.
Economy 101.
You get to be our Samwise then. You kind of look like a hobbit there. Eli?
I saved the world.
Eli, you got a Smeagol look, do you?
Anyways, I remember I asked.
I'm sorry, Eli. I didn't mean that.
The Australian guy. He's not even listening. Like I said,
guy. Does he have a name?
I don't want to give his name out because they make. I don't know how Australian works.
Crocodile Hunter. Gotcha.
Put him in jail. I don't know. I'm being very racist right now.
What if we call him Steve for now?
We'll call him Steve. That's another thing. Is
Steve Irwin?
But it's off topic. I asked them that. I was like, would it make more sense? Let's say they're making 40% off their items, like they have 4% tax on their items, would it make more sense to drop it to, let's say, 20% and people would be more willing to buy more items? Yes, to making less per item, but they're selling more items. And he's like, yes, it would.
I thought he'd say crikey first, then yes, it
would. And I just, like, I don't know, I just found that. There's a long plane flight, but I found it interesting.
Right. And to any Australian viewers out there, I do apologize for that. I do not think every person from Australia says crikey. I don't want to offend anyone.
But that's all I have, I guess, for this episode. Well, what games are you guys playing right now? Send with that.
Kevin? We're The Last of Us on PS2.
Are you now, Kevin? Because let me tell you about one bit.
Don't you dare.
Where are you at right now? Tell me where you're at.
I just got ambushed. You'll know what that means.
I just got ambushed like
Anyways, we'll talk about something else. I don't want to tell in case.
So what's about to happen is.
Don't. Anyways, it's a pretty good game. It's a really cool survival horror game. If you have a PS3, I'd highly recommend it.
You just wait till you beat the game, man. Then come back to me and tell me how good the game is. Because it's not going to be good. It's fantastic.
Anyways, someone you play?
Me?
Yeah.
Kevin let me rent Dead Redemption. I've been playing that a lot lately. I've actually played Undead Nightmare. So I'm kind of like meeting these characters that I met in there already. So I'm kind of like, I guess, relearning everyone. I never actually played the Red Dead story. So it feels almost though it's dragging on a bit right now because I'm just trying to apprehend one guy and I'm having to go all around the place just to get stuff. It's kind of, well, I took down like a whole army of people. Can I just walk in there? Totally Walker, Texas Ranger, that stuff.
I'm not even asking Eli because we all know the answer to that.
I'm playing Animal Crossing and dreaming of GTA 5.
And what?
Dreaming of GTA 5.
I never heard of that game. What about you, James?
I'm actually only playing Mario. Animal Crossing. Oh, yeah. That's pretty much all I've been playing for 2 weeks. You get to the point where like you pick it up and you're like, holy crap, I've got a ton of food to collect and all this stuff, and you can play for 30, 45 minutes, and then there goes your night. You got to do other things.
The scariest thing is when it comes close to the evening, I'm like, wait, I haven't sold stuff. This
exactly. That close.
Oh, God.
Like, I got so many fruit trees that they're a little bit staggered, but some of them are like, this is a ton of fruit I got to collect. And there's fossils. Like, it seems like I collect 5 fossils, and you got to go and wake the stupid owl up. It's in the middle of the day. And he talks for like an hour. It just
I actually
go away.
It was funny. Briefly last night, I popped in my Super Game Boy on my Super Nintendo and started playing this.
Nice,
dude! This game was so hard, and also really impressive for what they could do with the Game Boy. But my God, that game was hard.
I guess that's the end of our episode.
Yeah,
I think we did. See you guys in 2 weeks.
Until then, viewers, ta-ta.